last year, it was about this time, we started walking through the book of John verse by verse. And the book of John is one of the Gospels. There's four of them that we have in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Gospels are what we call the accounts of Jesus, okay? They're all the accounts of Jesus. Some of them include more detail, like Luke's Gospel, right? Luke was a doctor, and so Luke was very into detail. Mark, not so much, right? Mark is the shortest Gospel. It's the most succinct Gospel, and he kind of summarizes things a lot more and just gives you kind of short, sweet, straight to the point. And then John is the storyteller. And so John would be the one that you would want to sit around the campfire with if you're camping, right? Because he could just tell stories. He was so gifted at telling stories and writing down stories and getting to the heart of the story. And so we started walking through this verse by verse, and then we took a little bit of a break for the summer, and then we did our vision, and now we're diving back into John to finish. And so John's gospel, and so just a little bit of catching up for John's gospel. Anybody remember what the one word theme of John is? Believe. Who said that? Oh, Michael. Okay, great. Believe. I love that you pointed to your wife like it was her voice. Believe. She said it. Bless your heart. Okay. But John's gospel, a couple things about it before we dive in. Okay. John's gospel is not just a biography. It is a theological love letter. Okay. The gospel of John is a theological love letter. John is writing so that we'll believe that Jesus isn't just another prophet. That's a lot of what he's writing about, because that's a lot of what Jesus dealt with, right? People just thought he was another prophet or teacher or revolutionary. John is writing so that we'll believe he's not just one of those things, but so that we'll believe, John chapter 20, verse 21 and verse 31, that he is the Son of God, and that by believing he's the Son of God, we can have eternal life. And so everything that John writes in his gospel points to Jesus as the Messiah, as the King, as our rescuer, as our Redeemer. And here in John 10, we see a major shift in the gospel that gives us one of the most beautiful and intimate pictures of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. And before we dive into the shepherd imagery, I'm sure we all have kind of a picture in our mind about a shepherd. Maybe you go to a manger scene, right, where you got a brown cloth on and a staff. You know, that's where a lot of people go when it comes to shepherds. But before we dive into that, we've got to remember what just happened in John chapter 9. We dealt with this in June. Jesus has just healed a man born blind. And the religious leaders, they just couldn't handle it, because Jesus is essentially flipping the tables mentally in their minds about what could be possible. And they grilled the man. They rejected his testimony. They kicked him out. Why? Because they were blind. The man was physically blind, but the religious leaders were spiritually blind, and they couldn't recognize the voice of the shepherd that was standing right in front of them. And so Jesus responds in John 10 by drawing a contrast between false shepherds, i.e. the Pharisees, the thieves, the robbers, and himself. The true shepherd who knows his sheep by name and lays down his life for them. And so let's look back. John 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. We're going to kind of take this piece by piece, chunk by chunk, three sections, and then three takeaways. Sound good? All right, awesome. So truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, everybody say door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he was brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus uses with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so let's talk about what Jesus was trying to get at here. The first point for us today is that Jesus gathers his sheep. Jesus gathers his sheep. Okay? And so the true shepherd, it says there, enters by the gate. Any person that tries to enter by any other way is a thief. It's a robber, right? Chances are, if someone is not where they're supposed to be, they didn't walk through the front door, right? They climbed through a window. They hopped a fence. Some of you are smiling like you've got a past. Maybe this is hitting a little too close to home, right? No one that is there for a bad purpose is going to walk right through the front door, right? And so that's what Jesus says, right? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus doesn't pull any punches here. What's he doing? He's calling out the religious leaders who have tried to control, who have tried to manipulate, who have tried to burden people with religion instead of leading them to God. And what he's talking about is access. Now remember, these religious leaders, they're all frustrated. They're all uptight. They can't see. They're too spiritually blind to see what's right in front of them. And they're bothered by the fact that Jesus is turning their religion on its head, right? We battle this today as Christians. There are people who have gone before us. There are people who are even now giving Christianity a bad name. And one of the things we have to do as a church, I have to do as a pastor, right, is almost reject that reflection of that association with things that have gone poorly and show people, hey, I'm trustworthy. Right? Hey, you can, I'm trustworthy. I'm susceptible. I'm still a sinner, but I'm trustworthy. Right? And so Jesus is kind of doing the same thing where he's having to overcome the religious leaders and their need to control, their need to manipulate, their need to burden people with religion instead of pushing them to God. And again, he's talking about access. And so he talks about three things here. Number one, the gate. The gate is the legitimate way to the sheep. The door. It is the most common sense way to enter. Right? I went to a brand new place on Friday. I was dropping something off to get repaired, to get handled. I was dropping something off. Never been to this section of this place before. And I pull into the place, and it's a big warehouse, and there are so many doors. So many doors. And so, you know, I pull over to where I've got room to kind of do what I needed to do and where I thought it would make sense for me to drop this thing off. And I start going and I just start trying doors. First one, locked. Second one, shop. Didn't belong in there. Right? A couple guys looked at me like I had three heads and I was like, yep, I'm out. And so turned to. But here's the thing. There were no directions. There were no please use other door. Do not enter, like none of that, right? And so these guys, they must get a kick out of this all the time. This must be their amusement. This must be how they get through their day, right? Watch these guys that show up that don't have a clue what they're doing, and let's just get your popcorn ready, right? Here's a new one. He's never been here before, right? And so finally, like I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating for effect. The fifth door I tried was unlocked, and it was where I was supposed to be. And I walked in and the guy looked at me and said, how you doing today? How you doing today? And I looked at him and I was just like, man, y'all have a lot of doors. Y'all just have a lot of doors. And he didn't know what to do with that. He did not know what to do with that. And he's like, well, you found the right one. And I fist bumped him and just went on my way. Like, I didn't want to talk to him. Thankfully, I fist bumped him and didn't punch him. Like, I just, let's call that a win, right? Let's call that a victory on this Friday, right? But the door in this case, the door of a sheep pen, the door in this case with what Jesus is addressing here, there would have only been one door. There would have only been one access point. And so when Jesus talks about the door, the gate, right? That is the only legitimate way to the sheep. The shepherd is not going to hop the fence. And so then he talks about himself, the shepherd, Jesus, who has God's authority. And then he references the sheep. And notice that he makes a big deal that you know the shepherd. You know the shepherd, not by how he leads, not by how big his staff is, not by any other way than what? The sheep hear his voice. The sheep do what he says. The sheep hear his voice and they do what he says. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? It is not that he has the shepherd's degree that makes him the shepherd. What makes him the shepherd is that he has spent the time, he has invested, he has trained, he and the sheep are obedient to his voice. So, what does all this mean? I'm glad you asked. Religion, what's the difference between religion and Jesus? Religion climbs over the wall to control. Religion climbs over the wall to control. We need to hear this right now. Religion climbs over the wall to control, but get this. Jesus walks through the gate to lead you home. Jesus walks through the gate to lead you home. It says there, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Jesus starts by contrasting himself with the thieves and the robbers, the false teachers, the fake messiahs, the selfish leaders. He uses the picture of a shepherd calling his sheep by name. That's personal. Sheep respond to someone who has a voice that they trust. That they trust. Real shepherds in ancient Israel in the time of Psalm 23 led their sheep. They didn't drive them like cattle. The sheep knew their shepherd's voice, and the sheep would listen. And here's what I want you to get when it comes to the nature and character of Jesus. Jesus doesn't shout at us from a distance. He calls us by name. He's not anonymous. He's personal. He's personal. And nothing takes him by surprise, and the sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And so my question for you this morning, and when it comes to Jesus gathering his sheep, is are you listening for his voice? Or are you tuned into other voices, fears, what other people say about you, social media, all these different things? Are you listening for the voice of Jesus, or are you tuned into other voices? There's a lot of noise, right? There's a lot of noise, and there's a lot of noise, I'll be honest, that claims to be under the banner, to be under the umbrella of Christ today that just isn't. Can somebody say amen to that? It's just not. It's just not. And if you're a follower of Jesus, get it this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus, he called you by name. Look at your neighbor and say, he called you by name. Come on now. Come on now. I know I've given you some history and some context and talked to you about football dinner and mountaintop worship and all those different things, but let's get into this. He called you by name. That's significant when it comes to the shepherd and when it comes to you. He called you by name. He knows you. Nothing in your life, nothing about you takes him by surprise. That wasn't random. That he called them by name, it was love. And so here's the deal. Maybe you're here today and you've been running, you've been confused, you've been wondering about Jesus and all of this. Hear this. Jesus is calling you to himself. 100%. I believe that with everything in me. Jesus is calling you to himself. Look at verses 7 through 10. Let's keep going. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." That's significant. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door," he says it again. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came," here it is, "that they may have life and have it abundantly." Number two, not only does Jesus gather the sheep, Jesus guards his sheep. Jesus switches metaphors. He's not just the shepherd, he's the gate. He's the door. In ancient times, back when David would have been a shepherd, back when Jesus would have been addressing this with the religious leaders and the crowd at this moment, his disciples and whoever was standing there, in this time, shepherds would lay across the entrance of the sheep pen at night. They would lay across the sheep pen, the entrance of it, at night, literally becoming the gate to protect their flock. Any danger had to go through them first. I have a friend in Charlotte, North Carolina. I haven't seen him in a while, but he has a son with severe autism. And Jonathan is his son, is about my size, big guy. He's nonverbal, and he loves to run and be active. And that causes issue with keeping him safe, keeping him protected. I have another friend down in North Carolina, similar ability with his autism. And whenever they go to a gas station, he has to get out of the car, walk into the gas station. He doesn't have to buy anything, but he just has to walk in, see the place, turn around and leave. There was one day that his mom was in a rush getting gas. She didn't let him do that. And so that night at about 2 a.m., there was a knock on the door. And they went down. And to their surprise, guess who was at the door? Their son. And guess what he had done? Gone all the way back to that gas station, walked in the middle of the night so that he could try to walk into it. And thankfully, the police knew who he was, picked him up, and brought him back home. Scary. Scary. Jonathan, similar to that, and both of their dads, as I've talked to them, both of their dads have now, and this has gone on for years, this has gone on for years and years and years, both of their dads sleep in the room with their two sons, right? Separate houses. I hope that was clear. Although, anyway, separate houses. I mean, they live in the same city. I'm sure there should be an arrangement. Maybe I'll suggest that to them. But they sleep in the room with their sons, and once they get in for the night, once everything's done, once they get in for the night, they slide their mattress, their bed, over in front of the door. Why? Protection. Protection. Because anything could happen to those boys if they got out and the wrong thing happened. That is exactly the heart of the shepherd, is that the shepherd would lay across the gate, lay across the entrance of the sheep pen, so that if one of the sheep got a wild hair one night or needed to go walk into the gas station or anything like that, the shepherd would know, be alerted, and be able to do something about it. When I became a father, May 6th, 2008, everything changed. everything changed. Everything changed in my life. Like, I don't remember. Like, I think there was a time where there was nothing on my calendar. I think there was a time when, like, I could sleep however long I wanted or go to bed whenever I wanted. And I didn't have teenagers trying to stay awake and talk to me. Because they come to life at 10. And I've been, like, checked out for 90 minutes by that point. But then you have to come to life with them, because if you miss that window, it's a big deal. But May 6, 2008, everything changed in my life. I would do anything. I would do anything to protect my kids. I was just having a conversation. There's a family that's going to the Freiburg Fair today, and I was talking to the kids this morning, and they were like, I said, what's your favorite part, food, animals, or rides? And they were like, rides, duh. And I was like, yeah, you know, 20 years ago, would have agreed. Here's the deal. They don't make rides for guys my size and my age. And so it's transitioned to food, animals, rides. I could give or take the rides. But let me tell you something. My kids want to go on Dragon's Descent down at Funtown. As much as I know that is probably not rated for me and shouldn't be in existence and shouldn't happen, I'm in. I'm in. And how many of you know, as fathers, as moms, right? You can mess with me. Don't mess with my family. And here's the reality. I think about this a lot. If we who are imperfect can say that, believe that, feel that, how much more does Jesus feel that for you? And that's exactly how Jesus feels about you. And see, we see there the thief, i.e. the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your purpose. He wants to destroy your future. But Jesus says, not on my watch. And so today, if you're feeling attacked, if you're feeling exhausted spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, hear me, Jesus is your protector. Jesus is your protector. You don't have to guard yourself alone. He stands in between you and the enemy. Trust him with your relationships. Trust him with your future. Trust him with your heart. And know one more thing before we go to number three. Abundant life that Jesus talks about, that John talks about here, does not mean a perfect life. Somebody say amen. Abundant life does not mean perfect life, but what it does mean is a purposeful life. Everything has purpose. And so abundant life doesn't mean a perfect life, doesn't mean perfect feelings, doesn't mean perfect emotions, doesn't mean perfect outlook, doesn't mean perfect, but it does mean purposeful, a life full of hope and joy that circumstances, get this, can't take. And so Jesus gathers his sheep. Number two, Jesus guards his sheep. And then look at verses 11 through 21. Jesus gives his life for his sheep. I'm the good shepherd. So he said, I'm the door. I'm the door. Now he's saying, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not know the sheep, who does not own the sheep, excuse me, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. Get this. So there will be one flock. One shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. Now, we're going to unpack that in just a moment, but look at the last three verses of our text this morning. There was a division again among them. among the Jews because of these words. Many of them says he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And so you see the mixed reaction in the words of Jesus. Some people are like, this guy's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He's going crazy, right? He's lost his mind. Don't listen to him, right? In the same way he's calling out false teachers, we're going to call him out, right? Because we know better. And then others are like, yeah, but I don't think he has a demon because remember just a little bit ago, he healed that blind man who had been blind from birth. And so there was a mixed reaction. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But again, Jesus gives his life for his sheep. This is really important for us. Jesus draws the line between the hired hand and the shepherd. Jesus draws a line between the hired hand and the shepherd. He says a hired hand runs when the wolves come, runs when it gets tough, runs when they start getting questioned. The shepherd lays down his life. And Jesus says it five times in this passage, five times in this text, that he lays down his life. He wasn't caught. He wasn't condemned to it. He chose the cross. No one took his life. He gave it for us. And so what makes Jesus different? He doesn't run when it gets hard. He doesn't run when it gets hard. He doesn't leave when the wolves show up. He doesn't protect himself. He doesn't censor things for so that people still like him. Again, he didn't pull any punches here. He sacrifices himself. The difference between the shepherd and the hired hand is the hired hand bails out. The good shepherd lays down his life. And this is foreshadowing of the cross. Because Jesus isn't just giving good advice here. He's giving up his life for his sheep. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus is saying here, I know you personally and you can know me intimately. I know you personally and you can know me intimately. Not just intellectually or religiously, but relationally. Like the perfect connection between the Father and the Son. And here's the deal. Many of us today, and this is why I think this is so important for the church of 2025. Many of us today would prefer a hired hand over a shepherd. Many of us today would prefer a hired hand over a shepherd. The oven just got turned up a little bit, didn't it? Many of us today would prefer a hired hand over a shepherd. Why? Because the hired hand, right, we can manipulate. We can dictate things when it comes to the hired hand. We can have our way when it comes to the hired hand. The hired hand isn't gonna stick around when things get tough. So they're not gonna hold us accountable. They're not gonna have hard conversations. They're not gonna push me too far. They're not gonna have a hard time. Do you know what a shepherd used to do to a sheep that was disobedient to his voice? You know what a shepherd would do to a sheep that would wander off? Break its legs. A shepherd would break its legs. Now, I know some of you animal people, you're like, I don't like that. I don't like that. And I can't imagine the picture of it, but I've never been a shepherd. But if you look historically at it, the shepherd would break the sheep's legs, but get this, not leave it there, would then carry the sheep on his shoulders until the sheep was restored to full health and could follow again. And see, here's the deal. Many of us forget that when it comes to God, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the things of Scripture, that there is as equal justice as there is love. That there are blessings for obedience and cursings for disobedience. That we are called to be a people who respond to the voice of the shepherd. And when we don't, we can't expect things to go well. There are people that are just absolutely living in a way that you know, I know, everybody knows, would not honor God, and yet they're sitting around looking and saying, why isn't God blessing my life? Hello? Many of us would prefer a hired hand over a shepherd. Because a shepherd, just like it says about Jesus, God being the father, a good father, disciplines the ones he loves. Disciplines the ones he loves. Disciplines the ones he loves. Why? Because he's just. Because he's just. The hired hand goes both ways. The hired hand goes both ways. I'll never forget sitting in church business meetings. Isn't it amazing how people just leave their Christianity at the door when it comes to a church business meeting? All gloves are off, all bets are off. But I remember sitting in a church business meeting very early on and arguing for an hour about whether or not our church could wear ties in July. And we instituted a no-tie July in that church. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was my favorite month of the year in that church. But there was a thing in the bylaws, hear this, that the deacons dictated what the pastor wore. Not just on Sundays. The pastor could wear t-shirts on Saturdays. That was it. The pastor could wear shorts whenever he was not in the building. But he had to wear pants when he was in the building and a collar 6 days of the week, at least, tie on Sundays, except in July once we got that passed after that hour-long argument. What's my point? It never goes well when the sheep just want a hired hand. It doesn't go well. Sheep without a shepherd is a dangerous thing. And so Jesus makes a pretty big case as to why he's the good shepherd, because he gives his life down for the sheep. And he draws the huge distinction between being a hired hand and being a sheep. And what he's talking about, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. I think that's powerful. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I have other sheep that are not here in this fold, and I must bring them also. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the Gentiles, those who are outside of the Jewish fold, those who wouldn't have been accepted with the people that he was talking to right here. But what Jesus is saying is, I didn't come for one group of people. I didn't come for one voting party. I came for the whole world. I came for the whole world. That's what Jesus is making the case here for, right? I came for the whole world. Jesus didn't die to start a religion. He died to build a family. And there's room in that family for you. But I want you to notice that, again, that stirs, and no doubt if this stirs, then this message will stir different reactions. It causes different reactions. Some believe, some mock, some walk away, some lean in. But here's what you need to know. Jesus always causes a reaction. Jesus always causes a reaction. Some believe, some mock, some walk away, some lean in. Some lean in. I hope he plays awesome. Yeah, yeah. Soccer game. Thanks for making this a priority. Some lean in. And so what do? Takeaways. Worship team, you can go ahead and come. We're going to be really quick with this. Number one, are you listening to the right voice? Are you listening to the right voice? Think about the voices that you tune into right now. Think about the voices that you allow to speak into your life. I was thinking about this. I've told this story before many times. But as a young preacher, I would look around and just kind of see, you know, preachers that were crushing it, right? There was a guy by the name of Andy Stanley down in Atlanta, Georgia, doing great things. Matt Chandler in Dallas, Texas, doing some pretty cool things. A guy by the name of Bill Hybels doing some awesome things. You know, Rick Warren. You know, clearly people loved his preaching, you know, because these guys would preach to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And there were others that I followed and just would listen to like 8, 9, 10 messages a week, just trying to get everything that they were teaching. And what I was hoping for is that I could just teach like Andy Stanley, that I could read scriptures like Matt Chandler. And what I found was around like 2014 through 2015 is that my preaching was no longer Travis Bush. In fact, I don't know if I ever had an identity before then, but I was like Andy Chandler. Or I was Rick Hybels. Rick Warren and Bill Hybels mashing those together. You got that? Okay. And I was trying to be all these people that I wasn't. And so I had somebody really wise say to me one time, they were like, Travis, be you. Be who God has created you to be. Stop listening to all these other voices. Stop playing comparison, because comparison's the thief of joy. Stop shaming yourself into thinking that you're not good enough. Stop living with the anxiety due to the performance, all these different things, religion, all of that. But here's the reality. Are you listening to the right voice? Because there's only one voice who calls you by name. There's only one voice who leads you to life and says that you are mine. And so my question, what voices are you letting shape your life? What voices are you letting shape your life? Number two, do you know the shepherd personally? Not do you go to church, not do you believe in God, but do you know Jesus? Do you walk with him? Do you hear his voice? There are a lot of people who believe in God today, but are not walking with Jesus. There are a lot of people who believe in God today. They got their get out of hell free card, but they are not walking with Jesus. Start an intimacy with Christ when it comes to not checking a box, but hearing his voice. Are you listening to the right voice? Do you know the shepherd, the good shepherd, personally? And listen, the good shepherd is not your pastor. Agreed? He ain't him. There's a time that I would have loved to have been him. But then I realized I'm not him. We gotta stop placing the weight of Savior over our hired hands. Because I can't. There's no way. People get offended. They're like, you don't remember my name? A shepherd knows my name. Well, I'm a shepherd, but I'm not the good shepherd. And so, sorry to disappoint, right? Not him. Number three, will you follow where he leads? Will you follow where he leads? Now get this, okay? When it comes to the shepherd, when it comes to the good shepherd, get this, sheep don't argue with the shepherd. They trust him. They follow him. Even when the path, like Dakari read a little bit ago, even when the path goes through dark valleys, even when the path leads me to a table that is set with my enemies, the shepherd is good and the shepherd is still with me. And so stop waiting to feel ready to follow the shepherd. I don't know that we should ever feel ready to follow the shepherd. Instead, we start walking in obedience to what the shepherd wants us to do. We just do it. We just do. We walk in obedience as sheep following a good shepherd. and just start doing what we want him to do. Somebody start playing. Somebody start playing. Jeff, start playing. Jeff, start noodling. It's good to have you back up here, Jeff. Okay, James beat you to it, Jeff. Look at that. Maybe you've been listening to the wrong voices. Maybe you've wandered off. Maybe you've tried religion and it left you dry. Maybe you're bothered by the fact I just said sheep don't argue with the shepherd. They just trust him. And you're like, yeah, but no. They don't. You can feel a way about it. But they don't. In January, I will feel a way about the fact that I'm in Maine. I will feel a way. But right now, it's beautiful. I love it. And guess what? In January, even though I'll feel a way, I know this is exactly where God wants me. It's exactly where God wants me. It's exactly where God wants me. But man, there are times I doubt. Jesus says, I'm the gate. I'm the good shepherd. Come to me, and you'll find me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let him lead you home. The worship team's going to sing a song and talk about just doing something. I've been wanting to do something for about a year. And just hadn't happened. So we're going to do something this morning. Okay, we're going to do something this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different. Okay, while these guys sing this song, I'm going to pray for us. And then these guys are going to start singing a song. And then we're going to go old school. Okay, while these guys sing this song, I'm going to stand right here. And JoJo's going to stand right there. JoJo, are you willing to stand right here? Is that okay? Good. I'm glad we talked about that. Glad you're prepared. And if you're here this morning and you say, man, I just need prayer, we're up here. We'd love to pray with you. God's called us to be shepherds here at Summit. And if you're going to be a shepherd, you ought to smell like your sheep. And we want to smell like you. We want to be with you. So if you need prayer, if you have questions about salvation or hearing the voice of Jesus and you want to come down and pray with somebody, we're here. If you've got questions about baptism or anything like that and you want to come down and you want to pray with somebody, we're here. But as these guys sing, don't leave without saying, hey, I just need somebody to agree with me in prayer that I need blank. That I need blank. That I need blank. Because the goal of the church, the goal of the body of Christ, as Jesus gathers his sheep, as he guards them, as he lays down his life for the sheep, get this. Our goal, our response to that is to help others get to the shepherd. It's to help each other get to the shepherd. That's our job. That's our job as the church. Not to join the noise, right? Not to raise the volume. Not to add to the confusion, the division. Get to the shepherd. Get to the shepherd. Get to the shepherd. And so, God, today, I pray that we'd hear your voice. And that we would hear your voice only. God, that you would help us block out the noise. God, that you would show us the things that we've been listening to, the idols that we've been trying to entertain, all of the things that we've been giving our lives to that are just simply taking our attention off of the main thing, that are just simply taking our attention away from the Good Shepherd. God, show us, remind us, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. And so God, as we sing a song that is just all about gratitude, and I throw up my hands to praise you again and again. God, we do that today because we're so thankful, we're so grateful that you're the good shepherd. You call us by name, that you know what you've created, and it's good. And it's good. And so God, anoint our heads with oil today. God, prepare a table before us in the presence of enemies. God, do whatever you want to do, and we'll trust you. We'll follow you. Give us the strength as your people to do that. In Jesus' name.